Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the volleyball team opening up the season at home this week. We'll talk about the A-State Invitational that's coming up Friday and Saturday. Also, soccer wrapping up their four-game homestand. We'll talk about everything that's going on with them. And it's finally game week for A-State football. The season opener coming up this Saturday at 6 o'clock at Centennial Bank Stadium. Can't wait until the Red Wolves take the field against UCA. We're going to talk all about that. And to help us do that, our special guest in studio today, I want to welcome in the redshirt senior wideout from Monroeville, Pennsylvania, getting ready for his second season at A-State, preseason all-conference selection. Hello, Courtney Jackson.
What's up, Matt? How's it going?
I think everybody's excited. I know as a fan base, everybody seems to be excited. How about the players? How are you guys feeling?
I think we're super excited. We might be the most excited. I think everybody's kind of over practice now and just ready to play a game and ball out.
How long does it take to get over practice?
It doesn't take long, but you know, you got to do it. And everybody's doing the same thing you're doing. So, you know, you just got to keep that in your mind and, you know, we got to take those steps to eventually get to where we want to get to.
It's funny. Before we started here, you and I were talking this past Friday night. You guys had what coach calls the Beanie Bowl, and it's something that most fans probably don't know about, even because it's not an open deal, and it's football sort of in name only. You guys, it's not really a whole lot of live stuff, but it's a lot of people, as you say, call it a mock game, but it's you go in and you create all these situations you think might arise in a game just to make sure everybody knows how to handle it. And we all think about practice being learning how to run the plays and this and that. This dealt with all the things other than that.
Yeah, you know, you have to practice these situations and create that game day stress that players, you know, new players or players and maybe not at your program might not be used to, just to, you know, get everybody mentally ready and prepare for the game rather than like schematically, like you were saying, but there's a mental aspect to the game that you have to be ready for.
And I thought you made an interesting point because from a player's standpoint, you said you called it the signature because like in your head, like when you do that, when you play your mock game, camp's over.
Yep.
It's game week.
That's how I see camp. You know, you go through all these practices, and as soon as you have that mock game at the end of camp, that's when you know, okay, now it's game week. Now it's time to focus more on the opponent.
And you've been with Coach Jones now for 2 years. One thing that you and I have talked about before is just his attention to detail. And when you're looking at all these different situations, and even going back another week to the last scrimmage, you had a Sun Belt officiating crew in here, and you went through so many different situations. You're prepared for everything, aren't you, going into the year?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like you said, you know, he asks a lot of questions and just having those officials and things like that, like he prepares the team for things that we might not even think about. All the rule changes and the 2-minute warning and the injury stuff and the runoffs. And so we're learning about all these things. So when we get in these situations, these high pressure situations, we kind of know what we're supposed to do and what we're not to do.
Your second year at A-State. How different is it for you going into year two as opposed to year one?
I think I'm a lot more comfortable just with the team, with the coaches. Kind of know what's expected of me now. More comfortable within the offense. And I would say I'm more seen as a leader now. Coming in new is kind of hard. You know, you have to earn that respect from players. And I don't just want to come in and just, you know, because I'm an older guy, I kind of, they owe me something, you know, so you kind of got to earn that.
You just went through your final college camp. Do you enjoy the process of getting ready for a season?
Yeah, I think there's a beauty in coming to work every day and trying to be consistent and trying to be your best self. You know, like sometimes people kind of get, like I said, you get over practice and you don't want to come out there and it's hot and it's muggy, your pads are still wet. But I feel like that's the beauty of football, you know.
All right, let's go back and tell your story a little bit. And we mentioned Monroeville, Pennsylvania. That's Pittsburgh area, right?
Yeah, I'm about 15 minutes from the city.
All right, so did you grow up a Steelers fan?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was an easy question. Yeah. You should ask me if you're a group of Pirates fan, because that's hard.
Were you a Pirates fan?
I went to a few games in my lifetime, but I was never really I never really played baseball. I played baseball maybe 2 years when I was younger, but I was never really a baseball fan. So.
All right, so football, I know you ran a little bit of track. Mm-hmm. But you were also a really good basketball player.
Yes, sir.
So was there ever a decision, or did you know football was the main thing for you?
Originally, when I started, I always say I like basketball more than football early on. I don't know. I just, something about being on the court, I just enjoyed it more. And then as I got older, I excelled at both, I would say. And then it was about my sophomore year. Well, I had a decent year, but then like football kind of took off. And in junior year, we went to states and I had put up crazy numbers and coaches started calling. So I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna go that avenue. And then I realized I wasn't going to be 6'3". So yeah, that's kind of how that worked.
Yeah, I guess, did you come up football, I'm assuming, playing both sides?
Yeah, yeah. I play corner as well.
Did you enjoy playing defense too?
Yeah, no. I would say I was a lockdown corner. I didn't have many interceptions, but not a lot of people caught balls on me. Not really going to run past me. So I was just playing almost like a game of tag. I let them run past me and just follow them.
I mean, lockdown corner, I would be willing to tell you that most people that have that title or earn that title don't get a lot of interceptions. So they don't get many chances. They just sort of said, yeah, this side of the field is shut off.
Right, right.
So don't worry about it. They just didn't throw at you. Yeah.
That's what it was.
All right, so let's talk about your family. You've got some siblings. They're going to college too right now. Tell us about everybody.
Yeah, I have a younger sister. She's 19, going on her first year of college. She goes to Penn State, Harrisburg, I believe, on the Branch campus. And I have two younger brothers, Blake and Bray. They're twins, and they're 11. They just started school. They look up to me. Those are my guys. I try to talk to them whenever I can. They don't care too much about me. That's how they act.
Yeah, I'm sure they do look up to you. That's a pretty big age gap, but you're still able to stay close with them?
Yeah, I call them really any chance I get. Ask them about how football's going. They just started their season. I think they had their first game this past Sunday. So they're just getting started with football and school and stuff. So I try to call them anytime I can.
You joke about, you know, they don't care and that, because they're talking about your little brothers. But the flip side of that, and you know, is that, you know, I've got an 11-year-old who is lucky enough to get to be around a lot of our student athletes. And at that age, you guys are sort of larger than life to those kids. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's very cool. I love kids too. So it's like anytime I get to get around kids, I actually got some community service after this, but anytime I get a chance to get around kids, I love being around kids. Because I know at one point where I was as a kid, and I would love for somebody to come shoot some hoops with me or play with me in gym class. So yeah, anytime I get, I love kids.
All right. So I know you had a lot of choices coming out of high school. You ultimately decide to go to Syracuse. That's a big part of your life. You spent four seasons at Syracuse, redshirted in 2019. Of course, the COVID season in 2020, and then you played two seasons after that. Mm-hmm. So when you kind of go back and look at that experience, how were you able to grow?
Yeah, I mean, freshman year, typically freshmen getting this in this mental thought process that, you know, if I'm not playing, I can kind of relax. And I think that's where I made that mistake. I feel like I didn't really get better that whole year after I realized I wasn't going to play. So I really wasted a year in a sense. And then COVID year was just COVID like we talked about previously. 2021 was kind of when I got my chance. From that point, I really never looked back. That's when I knew I can kind of play on this level and I can be successful and succeed. And then the next year was kind of, my numbers kind of went backwards. At that point, I'm now 4 years into college and I figured it was time for me to, you know, get a change of scenery.
I think most people around here, I would think geographically, this part of the country, when you hear New York, they just think New York City.
Right.
So tell us what Syracuse is like. Not the university, the town.
The town is, it's like a small city, a little bit bigger than Jonesboro, but a small city. There's a lot of like outdoorsy things to do around there, like waterfalls and forests and like parks, like stuff like that. So if you enjoy like fishing or if you're outdoorsy, you would love Syracuse. You get all four seasons, obviously. I had a great time there and it's a nice place.
We played there in hoops a few years ago. The men did. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away with how big the Carrier Dome is. It's not your typical dome. Mm-hmm. They've got the football field kind of on the other side of the dome, right?
Yeah.
So everything's up.
Yeah. They just, for basketball season, they usually just cut off like, I think maybe 40 yards for the basketball court to go like horizontally on the field. And the rest is just typically they might put either towels down or they'll leave the field out there.
It's kind of a huge space out there.
It is.
Anyway, so it was time to make a move for you. And I know there was a connection here at Arkansas State. Vince Reynolds, the defensive line coach, was at Syracuse. Was there a relationship there before?
Yeah, me and Coach Reynolds were always cool. You know, it's kind of hard, especially I play receiver, he coaches D-line, so it was never really like a real connection there as far as like on the field. But, you know, I would always go in his office, say what's up to him, you know, speak to him whenever I saw him. And actually, what's funny is my freshman year, I was having a really good camp early on, and he called me in the office and was like, hey, keep doing what you did. And I didn't even know Coach Reynolds at this time, really. He's like, keep doing what you're doing. Like, you have one of the best camps I done seen. Like, from that point on, I always knew Coach Reynolds, you know, he was a good dude, and he would look out for people who, you know, were doing the right things.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Courtney Jackson here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. You make the decision after the 22 season to transfer. We talk about Vince Reynolds, but I know that's not the only reason you come to Arkansas State. What was it ultimately that made you decide to come here?
There was another connection, too, I just thought about. Coach Harley, he recruited me out of high school when he was at Pitt. And obviously, I'm a Pittsburgh kid. So he was the area recruiter. So he came to see me at school, I don't know, 3-4 times. But I never had the Pitt offer, though. So I blame that on Harley. And we had our...
Wow.
We've had our arguments. We passed it out.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Never had it.
When you got back here, did you go in his office?
Oh, yeah.
What in the world?
We had our talks. But he explained it to me, and it all made sense. But
it gives him a little extra motivation to go out and practice every day. Carve up that defense.
Yep, I gotta give it to him. But coming here, really just like I talked to Butch, and then Coach Leck came to see me in Syracuse when I was in the portal, and talking to him and just looking at the offense and what I wanted to do with my career. And there was a lot of opportunity here. I think, 2 years ago, there was like 8 games we led in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I knew we were close, and I figured I could be that missing piece.
You get here last year and the season starts, and those first 2 weeks didn't go anywhere as planned. But week 3, that second half against Stony Brook, I think is where everybody kind of points to the turnaround. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jalen Rayner took over at quarterback. And it seemed like just right out of the gate, the connection between Jalen and you, Courtney, seemed to be there. Talk about what it is that makes it work between you and number one.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, especially early on, stemmed from spring ball. Because when I first got here, it's kind of hard for a receiver to kind of get thrown into action, especially in a program like this where there's expectations and there's standards. So I was in the second group to, you know, learn the, you know, how we block when a ball is not thrown to us, or, you know, like just to learn how we play receiver, not just running a route. You can tell me to run a dig, I can run a dig. But it was just learning how. So I was in the second group, and Jalen was the second group quarterback. So a lot of the spring ball, I mean, it was just me and him just ripping up the second group. And so I think that's where our connection started. And then when he finally got his chance, it was like we just picked right up where we left off. But Jay's a cool dude. I mean, we hang out a lot off the field, and he's smart. And we can talk football, and I can understand what he's seeing and where he's expecting me to be.
All right, so when I ask us, it's not a knock on any other guy. But from a guy who is out there right in the middle of it, why did Jalen – coming onto the field seemed to be the springboard to last season?
I mean, I couldn't really pinpoint one thing, honestly. I think it's just confidence. Like, there's a certain confidence about you as a quarterback to where your team believes in you. Not that we didn't believe in others. It's just he had that certain confidence about him that, like, okay, we can trust him. Like, he got the keys. Like, is he going to take them? And he took them. And it was just like, from that point on, everybody was behind him. And, you know, especially when you get a freshman playing out early, there's even more of a help needed for us. Like, we can't drop balls because he's a freshman. You know what I'm saying? So it's like an O-line. You can't miss a block because he's a freshman. Like, you can, you know, you try to protect him even more when he's that young.
Yeah, it was just, it seemed like a good combination from the start with you two. And one thing you appreciated about Jalen when he came out, yeah, you noticed he's got that playmaking ability. You noticed that he's got a good touch on the ball and good touch on his deep ball. But, you know, he wasn't forcing anything. Mm-mm. And that was the thing when you're watching him, you're like, well, he's not making the mistakes you normally see from a true freshman. Now, there's going to be those moments, but it just seemed like there was a maturity there. And I'm sure you, as a guy that last year was playing in your fifth year in college football, appreciated that. And that probably helped ease things a little bit.
Yeah. One thing about Jalen, typically we're on a sideline for practice and, you know, one group is on the field and everybody else on the sideline. One thing I can say about Jay always took his mental reps in the back behind the actual quarterback who was in. So, you know, he might get 5, 6, 7, 8 reps of practice, but he's really getting 50 because he's back there taking his reps, taking his steps, throwing the ball. He doesn't have a ball, but he's throwing his motion, doing his throwing motion in the background and just getting those reps to where he was preparing the whole time, and it's almost like it was written.
When you look at Jalen, the running backs, the offensive line, you guys in the receiving corps, like from a fan base standpoint, obviously there are more names we already know on the offense, enough to be excited about. So tell us what kind of year you think this offense will have.
I think we'll be very explosive. We were explosive last year, and there's still a lot of meat left on the bone. Like I said, with Jalen coming back his second year, we get all the backs back. Most of the O-line comes back, and they're very mature, very old, has played a lot of snaps. Receiving core, we brought in some new guys, some big, tall, explosive guys, fast guys. And even the tight end room, we get Manny back. He got hurt earlier on last year.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, and Tyler Little's a year in now, and you got Miller. So, I mean, it's a lot of talent on our offense, and I think we're just waiting to just be let loose.
Yeah, and, man, I love that receiving room. You do lose Jeff Foreman. He was obviously a big part of what you guys did last year, but you got Corey back, Ruck, Ely, Adam Jones, Tanell Bryant. Man, he's taking a big step this year, his second year in college. And I bring up Tanell Bryant because Courtney and I were talking before we started recording, and I know he's a former track guy. He's got great speed, but you guys have a different way of kind of measuring that football speed. I asked Courtney, who's the fastest receiver right now? And it's you, right?
Yeah. I told Matt earlier, I was never really a track guy, but football speed is one thing I am blessed with. It was over, I think it was the last week, I ran over 22 miles per hour.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You ever hit that bubble?
No. I'm going downhill. If I went and did that thing they do, like, you know, in Europe where you chase the big wheel of cheese down the hill, I still don't think I'd get to 22 miles an hour.
We've got those guys coming back. And then you add guys like Malik Hornsby, Reginald Harden. I know Hunter Summers has come in, the Tulane transfer. Mm-hmm. But we got some new talent in that room, too.
Yeah, it's plenty of talent in that room. And that's what I love about it. Everybody has a different aspect to the game. You know, you got Chump, Tanell, speedsters, smaller, but can break tackles. You know, people have to get low to tackle them, and that's like an advantage almost for them. Then you got Malik, who's just amazing with the ball in his hands, and Red, 6'5", huge target, good red zone threat. Hunter Summers kind of does it all. Isn't really a burner, but he'll catch the heck out of the ball and he'll block. So, I mean, there's just plenty of talent in that room.
I'm a big fan of your receivers, Coach. How has Derek Lett helped you become a better player?
One, he always brings the juice every day. That's one thing I like about him. Even when you're not feeling it, you know, you can't not feel it around him because he's always energetic, always smiling. But, I mean, he's helped me expand my game and work on things that, you know, I didn't think were important, like my stance and stand low, and just help me become a better outside receiver as well as playing in the slot. So just little things in my game that I never really noticed that make a difference.
Now, why does he bring the juice every day? If you're
juiceless,
there you go.
You're useless.
If you're juiceless, that's exactly you're why. Useless.
That's exactly why.
Well, that's a good transition. One of the more entertaining parts of practice every day, preseason camp, and it's no secret. I mean, everybody knows Coach Jones loves being on that microphone during practice. I love hearing Coach Jones at practice on that mic. Do the players get a kick out of it too?
Oh, yeah. You just hope he's not talking to you, but when he's not talking to you, oh, it's the funniest thing in the world to us. And most of the time, like, you know, we're doing stuff, so you might not even hear it, and somebody might come and tell you, yo, you heard what said on the mic earlier? We died every time, every chance we get, honestly. But you just hope he's not talking to you.
The funniest thing, because obviously if you've been to a game, you know Coach Jones is intense and he's willing to coach people hard. But like, they're on the field and he's on that mic and I'm sitting in my office. We got no choice but to hear it all, you know. And I always get the biggest kick out of the amount of times he says please and thank you. that always gets. I don't know why, but it's like that he'll tell you to do something manners. And he'll say please or you do say thank you. It's like you just don't expect to hear that.
Do you have a favorite saying of his?
There's a few. Because, like, it's so hard to think of. Because even in the team room, like, he'll come in and you know exactly what he's going to say. I feel like he's very impulsive as far as, like, you know, he might read something and it'd be the most important thing for, like, a week. And he always tells us, this will change your life. With everything, it'll change your life. That is his favorite saying right there.
He reads a lot. And he's always trying to research and gather information and find ways to make himself better, make you guys as a team better. And you definitely appreciate that. And a lot of those things he says on the mic, obviously he's coaching hard, but there's some things that he says that I think he's having fun with.
Oh yeah. And you can see it on his face, you know, like he might say something, he might mean it, but soon as he turn around and look at somebody, he might giggle because he know he's just messing around.
We talked a lot about the receiver portion of what you do, but you were a big threat in the punt return game last year. In fact, 17th in the country in punt return average, return one to the house at Marshall. How much enjoyment do you get out of that?
That's one of my favorite parts of the day when I get to return punts. I'm probably the defense biggest cheerleader on third down. I can't wait to get back there, but it's a great part for me to be able to help the team that way and to be trusted by the team. It's a big job. You know, obviously the number one job is to get the ball back for the offense. And I see it as another opportunity for me. It's another way to get the ball in my hands and try to make a play when I can. And, you know, can't happen without the 10 guys in front of me. But I always look forward to those opportunities.
Is there a tougher thing to do in football than return punts? It seems like that's right up there near the top of the list. You're watching a ball at the same time you've got 11 dudes running after you.
Yeah.
So that decision that you have to make in a split second, whether to call for a fair catch or to return, what's that decision-making process like for you?
There's a lot of things that go into it. The first thing I look at, before the ball is kicked, usually every punt team is trying to get the ball off in, like, within around 2 seconds. So that's 2 seconds I get to watch the line of scrimmage. So if I see somebody come scot-free, it's kind of like, I know I'm probably not going to have a lot of time. But if everybody's held up and I see a lot of my jerseys still in the line of scrimmage and the ball's kicked, okay, I might have some time. Now the ball comes off the punter's foot and it's low, or, you know, it doesn't come off super high, then I'm probably going to have a chance. But if it goes straight in up in the air, I'm probably knowing I'm going to have to call for a catch. And then you can, as a defender gets down and the ball is starting to lower, I can feel the defenders. Like, I can't even explain it, but you can feel them and how close they are to you and if you have space or not. And then from that point on, it's just making a decision, catching the ball, and doing something with it.
It is like the rules have changed. And I don't mean literally the playing rules, but I mean like the rules for a punter. Because they used to say, oh, you know, you go stand on the 10-yard line and you don't mess with anything that goes over your head. Well, not anymore. Like, mm-hmm. They want you guys after trying to corral everything.
Yeah, yeah. Our rules are a little bit different. We stand back a little bit farther. But, I mean, the goal is to catch every punt. That's my goal, at least. I don't want to let any punt bounce. I mean, obviously kind of hard with the rugbys and, you know, those type of kicks.
You've already graduated?
Twice.
What are your degrees then?
My bachelor's is in communications, and I just graduated this past spring with my master's in sports administration.
All right. So nice. What's the end game after football?
I really might get into strength coaching. I talk to Jeff Jones a lot, and he thinks I'd be a great strength coach. I always wanted to coach. Being on this level and seeing, like, you know, how hard the coaches work, position coaches, it's a lot of time spent at the facility, and I don't know if I love it that much. Like, they spend a lot of time away from their families and away from home, whereas I can still be around the kids but still be able to go home and have a family and, you know, do those things.
There's such big stretches of the year where the strength coaches are probably around you guys more than your position coaches.
Summertime, yeah. That's the strength coach's time to build bonds with us and get us stronger, faster, and bigger.
We talk about that. That's after football. I'm sure NFL is still a goal for you, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the thing you're looking forward to most as we get ready for kickoff this week?
I want this to be the most winningest season I've had in my career. I haven't been fortunate to win the whole bunch of games. So I would love to pull out 8+ this year. That's the biggest goal.
And you told me you got some family from Pennsylvania going over to Michigan for game.
I was just looking. It's going to be 5 hours.
Yep. A few family members will be there.
You had some come to Marshall last year.
Yes, sir.
And returned a punt for a touchdown. So who knows? Could be returning one at the Big House here in a few weeks.
That'd be huge.
Spoiling homecoming.
It's their homecoming?
It is.
We need to go.
That's early in the year, too.
It is early in the year, yeah.
Courtney, it's great to have you here at A-State. Good luck this season, and thanks for coming in. This has been fun.
Thank you for having me.
That's Courtney Jackson joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact, spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T, club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our program right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. Excited for the A-State volleyball season to get underway this weekend, and really enjoyed our visit last week with Sarah Martinez.
Yeah.
And she kind of got us all fired up about the volleyball season. But you know, one thing we talked about was how cool it is to open up the season at home with the A-State Invitational coming up. Three matches in 2 days, Friday and Saturday. Friday at 1 against SEMO. Then Friday at 7, Ole Miss in town. And then Saturday at 2, before you go to the football game, you can come to First National Bank Arena and see the volleyball team take on St. Louis. So three great chances to watch Coach Gerwig's team.
Yeah, and I think you'll see, if you haven't already, and you probably already have by the time you're hearing this, but you'll see that we'll put out that if you've got even your mobile on your phone, or if you've still got your printed one, you got a ticket to the football game, it'll get you in any of the volleyball matches this weekend.
Great.
We'd love to see a big crowd for any of them, but especially Friday night. We'd love to see a big one. You know, when you've got an SEC team coming in, regardless of the sport, you know, you'd love to have a big crowd and, you know, have some, hopefully some former players back. It's their alumni night for our volleyball program. And so it's a big one, and hopefully people will jump on board with that and get out there. And then they say, yeah, catch some Saturday before you go out and tailgate.
Soccer team was able to get off to a good start this season, and congratulations to Keelan Peacock, named Sunbelt Conference Offensive Player of the Week last week. Damaris DeShane, the Sunbelt Conference Defensive Player of the Week, doing a great job in goal. And coming up on Thursday, Coach Dooley's team will be wrapping up the season opening homestand, a 4-game homestand, trying to finish it off with a big win against UCA. Again, that's Thursday at 4, and then they'll hit the road for the first time this season Sunday at 1 as they head down to Ruston to take on Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, not a bad trip down there to play at a nice complex. They got a nice soccer stadium at Louisiana Tech, so I hope our folks will enjoy that. And then obviously we'll talk more about this next week, but I want to go ahead and kind of get it on people's radar. You fast forward to ahead a week to that Thursday, September 5th, a week from Thursday, 3 o'clock. You talk about volleyball having Ole Miss come in on that Thursday. Soccer's got K-State coming in.
How about that?
A-State, K-State at 3 o'clock on the 5th. So, you know, if you're around, especially, I understand that's going to be a little tougher in the week for if you're out of town, but if you're around and can knock out a little early, be a good match to have a big crowd for.
Cross country getting their season underway this coming weekend. The City Auto Memphis Twilight Classic. The women picked first in the Sunbelt Conference preseason poll. The men picked second. So those teams expected to be right there in the hunt for a Sunbelt Conference championship yet again. And it all leads up to football. Season opener Saturday night, 6 o'clock against UCA. I think Courtney Jackson got us all fired up for that earlier, but man, there's been a lot of buildup. I know a lot of meetings trying to get ready for this on our side, but there's just nothing like finally getting it underway for real. And Man, it'd be great to have a huge crowd in there.
It sure would. I mean, we've talked a lot about it before. I mean, only once since 1987 have you played the first two games of the season in Jonesboro. We're doing that here. Just hugely important to get, I mean, it's really going to set the tone for the whole rest of the season, really, these first 2 weeks. And gosh, I hope our fans, you know, sort of respond accordingly. We just really need two big crowds. And I hope our people are taking Saturday seriously, because UCA is, right? I mean, their alumni is having a big tailgate party. They're bringing their band.
Good team.
Yeah, and they're good.
Preseason number 11 or 13, wherever you look. I mean, they're way up there. So this is a good FCS team that is more than capable of beating a whole lot of FBS opponents. So got our hands full, but looking forward to seeing what kind of product A-State has on the field coming up on Saturday. And look, they've been fun to watch in practice, and you can tell from Courtney that this team's ready to go. So what a great guy Courtney Jackson
is. Yeah, enjoyed
that visit a lot. Thanks to Jerry Scott for setting that up for us. You got anything else?
You talk about things that are big time important, and one of those, you know, Saturday 3:45 is Red Wolf Walk. Mm-hmm. It's a such a slow process to try to be, and it has just kind of kept getting better and better and better. But man, I hope we realize as fans the role Red Wolf Walk plays in setting the tone for the rest of the night for these players. And because kind of what they see when they get off that bus, it's the mood they're walking into the stadium with, or the mood they're walking into the stadium in. So as fans, we all have an opportunity to set the tone for them to get their game day off on the right note when those buses unload at Tailgate City and go through Red Wolf Walk. So hopefully we will get them started on the right note at 3:45. I mean, and I'm going to talk with our students and stuff too, is that walk over there for those 10 minutes. Go back to doing what you were doing. If you got a tailgate party somewhere else, you're tailgating in the Pines. But wherever you are kind of in and around that stadium there, that point in time, the place you need to be is over there for Red Wolf Walk, because it really is part of setting the home field advantage, good or bad.
It means a lot to those players when they walk in and see a big crowd. So looking forward to seeing one coming up Saturday at 6. Enjoyed this episode very much. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you at the game.